Hi folks, I'm Greg Lowe. I'm a SQL Server MVP and part of the Microsoft Regional Director Program. In this session, I want to take a quick look at the spatial related improvements in SQL Server 2012. First up, there's circular arc support. Now, there was good support for a wide variety of objects introduced in SQL Server 2008. In fact, I thought SQL Server Spatial was probably one of the best things included in the product in 2008. I see a lot of people who tend to think that spatial applications are all about perhaps mapping or things like that, and they often don't think they relate to business applications. But it's really important to realize that almost every business application involves something dealing with addresses or things that could turn into locations. And whenever you have particularly things like business intelligence applications, being able to show where things are and so on just simply brings them to life. Now, the objects that were supported in 2008 were a good start, but there were a few things in the OGC standards that we had not yet had added to the product. And a good example of this are curves. And so you can imagine if I wanted to draw a circle, the amount of data involved in just having a center point and a radius is hugely different and more accurate than sitting there describing in vector form the entire shape of the curve. So it's patently obvious we need to have some sort of curve support, and that's been added in 2012. And so the circular arc object provides this. We have circular strings, compound curves, and also curve polygons. But a number of other things have been added to enhance the use of these curves as well. And so in the example I have down the bottom, this is now an example of STGOM from text. Circular string has been added to the well-known text in this case, and I can retrieve a circular segment. Now, there's a substantial difference in what I can do by having a curved string as opposed to a line string, but lots of other methods have been added that enhance or are enhanced by the use of curves. So, for example, one of my favorite methods in the product has been buffer. Buffer takes a shape and then gives us the shape surrounding that out by a certain distance. So, for example, if I had the picture map of a country, and then I said, look, take it out by 5 kilometers or 3 miles, and that would give me a shape that's larger than that with the surrounding area. Or perhaps it's a street, and what is the corridor surrounding the street? Now, the shapes that we had of these before were all in the same shape that we could draw using vectors under the covers. Now, in this example here, you can see I've got a triangular shape, but by using buffer with curves, I actually have a much more accurate situation where the corners occur. And similarly, we have curve to line and curve to line with tolerance that provides a buffering. Now, another big issue that came up in 2008 is that when we had a geography object, it couldn't occupy more than a hemisphere. So not a specific hemisphere like northern hemisphere or southern hemisphere, but any particular hemisphere, so any more than half the size of the world. And if you did that, you'd end up with a thing with this error message here. So it'd say the specified input doesn't represent a valid geography instance because it exceeds a single hemisphere. Well, that restriction's gone in SQL Server 2012. So it now supports objects that are up to the full globe in size. Now, one of the issues we had before is that, for example, if I drew the region of a postal code or a zip code, the thing to understand is I'm actually drawing two regions. I'm drawing what's in that postal code, and I'm also drawing everything that's not in that postal code. Now, the way that was determined was by the order of the points that we laid down in the polygon. The idea was that everything to the left as you drove along the boundary was included in the shape. Now, it was really important before that you had them in the right order, because if you took a shape that was able to be represented and then we turned it around the other way, suddenly you were talking about a thing that automatically was bigger than a hemisphere. Now, in this case, what we have had added is envelope angle, and what this does is returns us a value so we can detect objects that are now bigger than the hemisphere size. And the other one that's been added is reorient object that takes that shape and then flips it around the other way because that value is now supportable. Also in full, where we have well-known text, we now have full globe support. And so in this example I have down the bottom, I've simply said, give me a geography object based on the entire globe in 4326, which is the WGS84, like the GPS system, similarly. And then I've called the area function on that, and then basically saying, what's the area of the entire world? Spatial indexes have taken a while to build, and in this version they now build 4 or 5 times faster than they did previously. But there's more to that in these indexes as well. So another thing that we had to do was tune the index. We had a multi-level grid that was used to sort of, they called the process tessellation, but it was all about taking a bigger area and working out what parts could be relevant. So if I had an area and then I said what streets intersect that, that's a straightforward problem if it's a small number of streets. But if I had all the streets in the country, that would be too big a job. So I need to quickly eliminate, as I go down through the levels, the parts that are of interest or not. And spatial indexes were used for this. So what a spatial index does is it gets you to a situation of not finding the exact things, but finding things that could be candidates that need to be looked at. Now, tuning the grids was something that people were fairly unfamiliar with, and in this version we now have new auto grid options that make this sort of tuning fairly unnecessary going forward. Another big difference was data compression. Now, I thought this was one of the best things also added in SQL Server 2008. My two favorites were spatial and compression, but we could not do data compression on the spatial indexes in the previous versions. So now we can use both row and page compression can be applied to reduce the size of these spatial indexes. We've also got options to allow us to sort of fine tune the maximum number of cells per window. With the methods, there were a number of methods that were provided by people up on CodePlex and by members of the team. And in particular, there were things like aggregates over the individual shapes. And these things have now been added rather than as community contributed efforts. A lot of these are now part of the product itself. So for example, I've got a union aggregate listed here. And in this case, we've got a map of the country of France and the different provinces. And each province would be contained in a row, the shape of that. And then by creating a union aggregate, we've grabbed the total area or the total shape by combining all the individual shapes from all the rows like we do with any other aggregate in the product. Similarly, an envelope aggregate says find me the smallest rectangle that would enclose every possible shape contained in the data, and convex hull aggregate says find me the minimum polygon that would enclose the entire shape without going back convex on itself. These sorts of methods are completely amazing, the level of work they do for you. Our collection aggregate allows us to take a variety of different shapes, combine them together into an aggregate. And another interesting new method is shortest line 2. So this allows me to take two arbitrary shapes and then find the shortest line that would connect them. And importantly, it doesn't have to be between vertex points. It can now find the point on perhaps a curve and find this is the shortest place. A couple of other general related enhancements here. The precision has been increased. And so we had 27-bit precision in earlier version. This has been moved to 48-bit precision now. The sort of example before where I had a map of France and we had the different provinces and then we had created a union over the top of that. Now, when we did that, I saw examples of this in SQL Server 2008, because of the very fine rounding that would occur, what you'd often end up with, instead of an aggregate that just showed the entire shape, you'd get this sort of whisker effect all over the place where you just have the subtlest little bit of rounding in each case would tend to give you these tiny little lines in amongst the overall object. Now, that really was just about rounding. Now, in this case, we can now go to a much, much higher precision than what we could do before. Now, because there are both new and old geometry and geography types now, what we've got is both higher precision and lower precision versions of the same thing. Both of them are supported by the product, but if you have an object and you're wondering which version of SQL Server can I work with it on, then what we've also added there, there's a minimum dB compatibility level. And so in this example here, I've said, look, give me a circular string. So in this case, this is something that's only supported in SQL Server 2012. And that well-known text, if I parse that, what I can retrieve back out of that is the minimum version of SQL Server that would support that is 110, which is SQL Server 2012. There were also a lot of methods on the geometry object that weren't available on the geography objects in the previous versions. There's been a substantial increase in the number of methods that were on geometry that are now supported on geography as well. Finally, if you wanted to use spatial types in a persisted computed column, that wasn't a supported use in previous versions. That is now a supported use. So if you look at this example here, I've got a table called customer locations. I've set a customer ID, but then I have a latitude and longitude stored as a float. I've created, though, a calculated column called location, where I've said take geography, call the point method on the class, pass in the latitude and longitude, and 4326, saying that's my spatial reference I want to use, or GPS in this case, and then I've said persisted. Now, the advantage of this is that all I need to do is update the latitude or the longitude, and the location field will be automatically modified to then support that new value and could be then used in applications that make use of that. But that now is supported in 2012. And so I hope that was interesting. In the upcoming demo, we'll also have a look at the nearest neighbor algorithm, which improves the speed of certain types of spatial queries. In general, the spatial implementation in SQL Server 2012 offers a lot of performance enhancements as well.